keep your seats, or if you're not in your seat, go get in your seat. The school bell has rung, and it is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this is the day we usually have our special feature when we read from the Rock Cliff Review. But this morning, I'm going to do something different. I am going to read from the Carolina Messenger. Now, this is a publication that was originally printed for the Churches of Christ in North and South Carolina. And I know there's a good coverage of that, but the Carolina Messenger goes far beyond the Carolinas. In fact, the editor, John Mitchell, is now a preacher in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, preaching for the old East Main Street Church of Christ there. And he asked me some time back if I would write an article for him about learning from Deborah. And we are in the book of Judges in the Warren County Radio Bible School and studying those judges. And I just read in the last class period, we had the story of Deborah in Judges chapter 4 and 5. And I thought it'd be good to go back, and I found that article. And I'm going to read that to you today. Now, here it is. Judges, learning from Deborah. We're introduced to Deborah in the Judges 4 and verse 4. She was a prophetess, a wife, and a judge. The order of those roles may be an indication of her priorities. For as a prophetess, she had a responsibility to God. As a wife, she had a responsibility to her husband. And as a judge, she had a responsibility to her community. Deborah was not a preacher, but she did not exercise authority she did not have. In all things, she was becomingly modest, shamefaced, sober, having an inward quietness and an appropriate subjection. Like the godly women of 1 Timothy 2:9 through 15, she was powerful because she was a woman of faith, charity, and holiness. Deborah did not make laws. As a judge, she helped people apply God's law to their situations. She did not go from village to village preaching like Jesus. People came to her for judgment, where she sat under her own palm tree, Judges 4 and verse 5. The New International Version says that Deborah held court, but they made that up. God wants men to preach and lead in prayer. In 1 Timothy 2:8, we read that some women think that when men will not do this, that they can step out and do it themselves. Deborah was not like that. When Barak failed to lead the men of Israel against Sisera, Deborah did not try to lead the men herself. As a prophetess, Deborah knew God's will. She sent and called for Barak to admonish him. Barak is rightly faulted for not having already done what God told him to do. But to Barak's credit, he asked Deborah to go with him, Judges 4, 6 through 9. He knew Deborah was a woman of God. Barak's dependence on Deborah was his dependence on God. That is why Barak is counted as a man of faith in Hebrews 11, 32. A wise man knows the value of having a wise, godly woman at his side. Deborah did not go with Barak to be his commander. She went to be his helper. Following God's own prescribed strategy, Judges 4, 6 through 8, Barak led his men to the top of Mount Tabor. This drew Sisera out, and he brought his chariots into the Kindron Valley. The storm God sent brought the brook out of its banks, and the rain and flood-soaked soil rendered the Sisera's chariots useless. When Barak and his men came charging down the mountain, the Canaanites panicked, fled, and were destroyed. We sing a children's song about Barak at Vacation Bible School. There was a wise old king who had 10,000 men. He marched them up the hill, and then he marched them down again. We should tell the children, that Barak was not really a king, but like a king, he led the men of Israel in battle against the kings of Canaan, Judges 5:19. Deborah gave Israel a song of victory and praise. God had come to their rescue, Judges 5:2-5. Israel was downtrodden until Deborah took the initiative, Judges 5:6-11. From the top of Tabor, Deborah spurred Barak into battle, Judges 5:12-19. God sent a flood that swept Sisera's chariots away, Judges 5:20-23. Jael killed the Canaanite captain. Her story is told in Judges 5:24-26. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, and her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with a hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. The way Deborah sang of Sisera and his death throes is chilling. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. Judges 5:27. Then she sang of Sisera's pathetic mother awaiting her son's return in vain, Judges 5:28-29. Deborah's song ends, "So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might," Judges 5 and verse 30. Deborah is more often admired than Barak. This is not because of the role she played, but because of how she played her role. There are similar Deborahs in our churches today. They encourage the preachers to preach sound and distinctive doctrine. They call things needing attention to the attention of the elders. I have been in a Bible class. I have been in Bible classes where it was evident that the women knew their Bibles better than the men. These are the wives and mothers who by their chaste conversation coupled with fear, 1 Peter 3:2, have kept families together and have kept them faithful and strong. Their quietness, meekness, and submission are not born of weaknesses. These are their strengths. I knew a Deborah who was held in high esteem among her elders. She held no office of authority, but the shepherds of that congregation would often consult her concerning matters they were overseeing. She was a wise woman, and they were wise men. Those who put women in public positions of leadership in the churches, thinking to elevate them, actually degrade them. They do not understand women. Men are God. Jesus said that the greatest in his kingdom are servants, Matthew 23:11. Often the greatest of these servants are women. God chose men to lead his churches, 1 Timothy 2:8, and beginning in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, and God chose women to be their helpers. It is by God's design that women are most powerful in their influence among the righteous when they are modest, charitable, and chaste. It is no accident that men grow in courage and faith when they have the company of godly women. If you ask a Deborah like that to be your preacher, she will set you straight. We should thank God for spiritual Deborahs in the churches, and we should pray for men of faith who recognize their worth and honor them. Now that's the end of the article. Like I said, I am reading now from the Carolina Messenger. If you have your pencil handy, I'd like you to write this down, and you can get this delivered to your home. It will be free of charge, and here is where you will find it on the website. It's www.carolinamessenger.com. carolina.net. That's carolinamessenger. www.carolinamessenger.net. And there you will find information about this publication, and you will see how you can subscribe to it. And they will be happy to send it to your home free of charge. I wrote that article for the Carolina Messenger, and I've written several for them. And when I do so, I like to read them on this radio program, because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And if you are a common listener, then you know what we are doing is looking back at old Sunday school lessons. And we're looking at Sunday school lessons about the book of Judges right now. This was prepared, what I'm about to refer to, as part of a Sunday school lesson for the Sunday schools of November the 28th, 1926. And in this lesson, it tells us to read Judges 6, which gives an account of the oppression of Israel by the Midianites and the beginning of Gideon's work and who Gideon and his father were. Israel was delivered by the hand of Jehovah into the hands of Midian 7 years. Well, I won't have time to read all of Judges 6 on this program today, but I think I might do that in a future class. Let me tell you a little bit about the Midianites, the Amalekites, and others. The Midianites were descendants of a man named Midian. Now, Midian was a son of Abraham and Keturah. We read about them in Genesis 25 in verse 2. They were a wandering people like the Bedouins, dwelling in tents, occupying the desert south of Palestine and the frontiers east of it. While related to Israel, they were Israel's inveterate enemies. Before this, they joined the Moabites in casting a stumbling block before Israel by inducing Israel to engage in the impure rites of idol worship and eating sacrifices offered to idols, for which God slew 24,000 in Israel, and later almost exterminated them. The Midianites are frequently mentioned in the Old Testament. At the time of this lesson, they had sorely oppressed Israel for 7 years. And then there are the Amalekites. They were also enemies of Israel, and we read of the country of the Amalekites in Genesis 14:7. Amalek was the first of the nations at one time, Numbers 24:20 and 21. Amalek fought with Israel in Rephidim soon after their deliverance from Egypt, when Joshua gained a signal victory, and God declared he would make war with Amalek from generation to generation. Amalek followed Israel, smiting the feeble and faint and weary who could not keep up, and God declared the remembrance of Amalek would be blotted out from under heaven. Deuteronomy 25:7-19. Before the time of this lesson, the Amalekites invaded Canaan with other enemies of Israel. King Saul was sent to destroy them, and David smote them. The children of the east were probably the Ishmaelites, and they were taken as a prey from the Ishmaelites. The Old Testament speaks of the children of the east also, who were not Ishmaelites. Well, we're going to read in our next class from Judges chapters 6 and 7 and read about Gideon and the things that lead up to his victory against them with 300 men.